When Ricky planned the worship as part of this service, he obviously wanted us to be looking forward and to place our hopes and prayers before the Lord for 2021. I too want to introduce some contemplation, but want us to spend a bit of time looking back at 2020 and in particular to ask ourselves the question, what did I learn about myself from what I went through in 2020? Hopefully you've still got a pen and paper with you, so perhaps you can write that question down and reflect on it in this week ahead. What did I learn about myself from what I went through in 2020? We tend to be quick to have convictions about what the government or our employers or the church or other people should have learned, but are not always so quick and so humble perhaps to look at ourselves. So are you up for doing that? God bless you, both of you. I've got 3 points today, which I hope will help you as you consider and in your musings. Point one is patient endurance. Towards the end of last year, I read these words from the book of Revelation in chapter 13, verse 10b. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of God's people. Just one chapter later comes the same admonition, Revelation 14, verse 12. This calls for patient endurance on the part of the people of God who keep his commands and remain faithful to Jesus. So what is it that requires patient endurance and faithfulness? What is the context? Revelation, remember, from chapter 4 onwards, is an apocalyptic and prophetic vision concerning the end times. And verse 13 is all about the emergence of the beast. In verse 7, it says, the beast was given power against God's holy people and to conquer them. And it was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast. All whose names have not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. So when God's holy people are being attacked and defeated, they will require patient endurance. Some people believe that we are in the end times already. Others do not. Jesus specifically tells his disciples in Matthew 24 not to speculate about the end, and so we're most certainly not going to do that today. But you may feel, looking back at 2020 and looking around at our world today, end times or not, that your faith and the Christian worldview, the Christian message, is under attack and even being defeated. Or you may have felt in the nightmare year that we had in 2020 with the pandemic and lockdown and tier four and the death of friends and mutant variants, that your faith, even your sanity, was under attack. I would suggest that you may be needing to learn some patient endurance. As you've ridden the 2020 roller coaster with newspaper headlines that screamed NHS on the brink one minute and freedom by February the next, I hope that you've begun to connect with the need for patient endurance. In 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8 to 9, Paul describes a particularly acute situation that he found himself in. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a great deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. The ability to endure comes from lifting our eyes off the problem and our thoughts off our fears and fixing our eyes and our thoughts on God. Now, we all know that's very easy to think and to sort of to state, but an entirely different thing to actually be able to put into practice. But nevertheless, that is our goal and that is our challenge. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So as you ask the question, what have I learned about myself from 2020? I wonder which of you manifested more, patient endurance or impatient exasperation? I would love to be able to claim that not an anxious thought has rooted itself in my head, that I've had no moments of meltdown, that not a criticism has passed my lips. But you know that that would not be true. I don't imagine any of us can make that claim. But have I learned some patient endurance? Have you? Let me give you some encouragement. You're still here, aren't you? You're still here. Praise God. Second point, as you reflect on what you have learned, is the question, who are you? Visitors to our football stadiums in this country will be familiar with that question, ever so politely posed by the opposition fans inquiring, who are you? Who are you? Just Toby. Who are you? What is your identity? What do you most readily identify as? A Christian? As a male or a female? As British or another nationality? As a punk or a goth or a hippie? If it's as a Christian, what sort of Christian are you? A nominal Christian? A committed Christian? This question is particularly pertinent when the normal order of things is disturbed. In Acts chapter 6, we read that the church is exploding in numerical growth and in social action projects. They simply called it feeding people back then. The apostles are preaching the word. The deacons are organizing the church. Christians are enjoying the favor of all the people. All is as it should be. And then Stephen is stoned to death. And Saul sets about destroying the church. In Acts chapter 8, verse 1 to 3, it says, on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them into prison. Was this the end of the church? The regular Christians, most very new in their faith, were detached from their leaders, whose role had been to lead and preach and hold out the gospel. What would they do? How would they cope when the normal order of things had been turned upside down? Would they go into their shells? Verse 4 says, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. It is fascinating. Without instruction, without management, without strategy, armed simply with their own experience of coming to faith, they went out into a hostile world. What was the result? The end of the church? A petering out of the gospel? The result was an eruption across the entire Mediterranean, the whole known world at that point. From a ragtag group of unskilled ordinary men and women, the gospel literally spread like wildfire. Truly, this was a priesthood of all believers. They didn't need a program or an event or even a site. They already had all that they needed, a personal encounter with Jesus. Our church world was turned upside down in 2020, wasn't it? How do you feel that you did or coped without the usual order of things, without being able to meet together as church or even small groups? Did you feel paralyzed and straitjacketed? Or did you feel empowered and liberated? Did your own encounter with Jesus amply equip you to share with others and to move forward? Or did you feel bereft and insecure? Has the seeming lack of opportunity to be doing things in 2020 meant that you've become more committed to and powerful in prayer, perhaps? My pal Terry down in Peyton has got me a wonderful book by a gent called E.M. Bounds entitled Power Through Prayer. It's not a new book. The author talks about praying in his nightdress. I wonder, any of you chaps out there still going to bed in your nightdresses? Other than Big Pete, that is. It's not a new book, but its message is timeless and priceless. Let me share a small quote from it. The praying that makes a prayerful ministry is not a little praying put in like we put flavor into food to give it a pleasant smack, but the praying must be in the body and form the blood and the bones. Prayer is no petty duty put into a corner, no piecemeal performance made out of the fragments of time which have been snatched from business and other engagements of life. But it means the best of our time, the heart of our time, and strength must be given. Has COVID time turned you into a prayer warrior? Let me give you a wee reminder of some of the things that the Bible says about our identity, if you identify as a Christian. In other words, those of us who are in Christ. 1 John 3 verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. That is what we are. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 to 10. But you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We may not feel those things always, but those statements, those are promises in scripture about who we are once we have encountered and accepted Jesus. Whether we feel them or not, that is who we are in God's sight. So point three, onwards and upwards. If the result of your self-examination today or that you go through during the week ahead is positive, if you think you've developed a good measure of patient endurance and you reflect that the more devolved way of being church this year has brought out the best in you, confidence and initiative, then we praise God with you. Keep going. 2 Peter chapter 1 talks about adding. So keep adding, keep going, keep growing. If, however, the result of your self-reflection is not so positive, and that's often the way lots of us think about ourselves or are wired, if when you look at yourself you see weakness or failure or insecurity, then I want you to consider this. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. And consider this, every one of Jesus' chosen 12, every one of them lost their nerve when Jesus was arrested and they bolted. Peter gets the flak for having made the claim that he would never disown Jesus and then goes on to deny him three times. But the truth is, every single one of them fell short, failed, gave way to fear, or shrank back. And every single one of them, bar Judas, who had taken his own life, was forgiven, welcomed back, restored by Jesus, and would go on to do great things with the rest of their lives to advance God's kingdom. If your reflection has left you in the dumps, dust yourself off. It's onwards and upwards as God's people into 2021. But Toby, we're in tier four. We can't do anything. Nonsense. Even in tier 104, every day will throw up endless opportunities to share Jesus and to bless and love. And if you find yourself with more time on your hands, then use it, as Dr. Nightdress urges us, pray. The character of our praying will determine the character of our Christian lives. Light praying will mean like light impact. Prayer makes our message strong, gives it unction, and makes it stick. Why do we need to be looking onwards and upwards? Shouldn't we be hunkering down and going into sleep mode? Proverbs 29, verse 18 says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. Where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. The reason we need to be looking onwards and upwards, the reason we don't need to be hunkering down and going into sleep mode, is that where God is not being revealed, our society, our world, loses its way. I would suggest that you don't need to look very far to see restraint being thrown off, do you? Our society, our world needs the message of Jesus Christ, needs to know the love of God, needs to receive healing and restoration, and needs to discover its sense of purpose and belonging. And just like in the first century, it simply needs you to share the encounter that you have had with Jesus in order to achieve that. Can we do that? I believe we can. If you haven't had an encounter with Jesus, one that has changed your life, a simple and accessible way to open that door is through something called Alpha. Alpha is a presentation of the Christian faith through a series of short movie clips followed by some discussion. As Emma mentioned in our notices today, if you have questions or interest about the Christian faith, if you've been moved or touched by reflecting on last year and want to get into that personal relationship with Jesus, want to enhance or strengthen that relationship, we really hope that you might be able to join us for Alpha. Our Alpha course is beginning on Monday the 11th of January at 8 o'clock. Just go to the Eastleigh Baptist Church website for details on how you can hook up. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, many of us, as we look back at 2020, will not be filled with good memories and with confidence. Many of us will look back at challenges and lost ones and will reflect that we didn't do so well in our faith in that time. And yet, Lord Jesus, we bless you and thank you that you are faithful even when we are not, that you are graceful and merciful far beyond our weakness and failings, and that you don't look at us in our sin. You look at us redeemed by Jesus. And we thank you so much for that. We pray that that might make such a difference in our life going ahead this year, that we would simply feel compelled to share our encounter with you, with others. And Lord, we might see radical growth and change in our nation, in our society, in our world. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.